if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. It's episode 350. Can you believe it? This is our 2025 CJ Cup Byron Nelson Tips podcast. Barry O'Hanrahan and Paul Williams join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss this week's PGA Tour action. Good morning, gents.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, guys.
This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. You can visit gambleaware.org for more information. And of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world famous golf betting system website, where we have in-depth betting previews for the Byron Nelson. We've got TPC Craig Ranch strokes gained rankings, detailed form stats, plus, of course, new and old predictor models for the Byron Nelson. All of our content is available completely free of charge. There is no paywall. On X, Barry is at A Good Talk Golf. Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. We are on Blue Sky. Search for Steve Bamford and Paul Williams. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel, where this podcast is available each and every week. Now, you guys as listeners power this podcast, so we need your 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. As ever, for those of you who leave a review, keep them coming. I'll read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. We've got one here, chaps, from an old PGA Tour member, Pat Perez. And Pat has moved to the UK, apparently. So, Pat, thank you for taking the time. It's nice to know that some of these pros listen to the podcast. This one is titled Unrivaled. Long-time listener to this golden source of data and tips. I look forward to hearing your weekly recaps and considerations for the week ahead. The depth of research is unrivaled. Covering strokes gained analysis, player motivations, Barry's favourite, biorhythms, course designer trends and draw bias, not forgetting course agronomy. I'm still hunting the transatlantic double. Keep up the good work! Pat, thank you ever so much for your excellent 5-star review.
Brilliant stuff. Thanks, Pat. I think we're all searching for that big life-changing double, aren't we?
That would be nice. That would be nice. We could just find the... Yeah. I do like a biorhythm. Thanks for picking up on that. I haven't said that in a while. Cheers for that, Pat. No transatlantic double this week. Can't do it, but...
Nah, next week.
Just, bro. You know, we got to start tooting around the horn here, lads. Paul's been on fire recently.
Indeed.
Higo and Peng, or Peng. Don't know how to pronounce it.
I thought it was pretty typical that Paul's on fire and there's been no podcasts. I mean, that just says everything, really, doesn't it? Paul, take us through it. Let's have a recap of your successes on the betting front.
Perhaps the no podcast just freed me up for a couple of
weeks. Yeah, maybe we should stop the podcast.
that'd be no fun, would it? I mean, we're all on Rory at Augusta, so that set everything up, really, didn't it? But yeah, Garrick Higo, he took advantage of Joel Damon's late capitulation week before last, didn't he? Oh, it's lovely when a winner like that falls in your lap. It doesn't happen that often. And I know historically we've tended to bemoan the fact that we've been on the player who has, you know, been the one who's made those late bogeys and someone else has snuck through and won. But yeah, to be on Higo that week was really pleasing. Shame for Damon because, you know, he's a popular guy and we've all collectively backed him a number of times and I hope it doesn't impact him too much because that was quite the fall from where he was. But yeah, nice to get Higo over the line. And then last week, hopefully a few of you read my Hainan Classic preview over on the website last week. But yeah, 3 picks and one of them was Marco Penge, who again I'd backed what, two or three times this season already. Been playing some nice stuff since he came back from his ban for breaking the gambling rules on for the DP World Tour. But we've been playing some good stuff, and it was a real guessing game last week. The course was set up at 7,700 yards, so we were looking for a long hitter, and Penge is one of the longest out there on tour. So it seemed to suit Bombers, and so it proved. Only thing was that with no TV coverage, of course, we were relying on the DP World Tour leaderboard being updated and correct, and having both of them combine and be accurate is not always the case. But yeah, after a little bit of a nervy wait at the end, he ran out the three-shot winner. So 50-1 winner following 45-1 following the team bet on Rory. So yeah, three on the trot. Long may it continue. Mate.
Are you going to be able to withdraw your cash? I mean, talk to Barry about this.
Oh, no, don't.
Oh, that's a we're veering off course straight away here, chaps.
Yeah, no, back to that. Like, this is a hot streak. Like, we're not going to talk about the bank or Betfair or how annoying it's all been. Anyway, we'll get there in the end. Paul, it's been an amazing thing to be in your slipstream, just picking up these bets the last couple of weeks. Mm. I've had Penge in my phone just as like an extremely long player for some time, and then reading yours and seeing the length of the course that last week just was an auto. It just felt like the had to just put the bet on, and I woke up early Sunday morning about, I don't know, 7 or something like that. Went to the app to check it, and I see that Sean Croker is on an absolute, like, just wild birdie ride. He gets to the first par 5 on the back 9, and it pops down an albatross for him. And then you shit the bed. So I said, hang on a second. The DP World Tour, especially when it goes out to Asia, is notorious for having the odd scoring snafu. So I hung on a moment, and thankfully it was only an eagle. And then things started to turn around. So, yeah, it worked out lovely in the end.
Mm. Yeah, no, it was nice that you managed to snare a piece of the action as well. So, look, there were a lot of people on him. It is one of those where it did make a lot of logical sense from the limited and very limited information that we had. But it all fell into place, all worked to plan. So, nice for that to happen.
It felt like a very old school win. It was like watching or following sports results on teletext. Because you had no TV or nothing. It was just like scores only. It was pretty cool in a way.
Yeah, and then waiting 20 minutes for a hole to update, thinking, yeah, it's taking too long. I know what's coming now. Bogey, double. No such drama in the end.
My understanding is that with that victory, Marco Penge has now got himself into the PGA Championship.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. Yeah. So I think they're taking the top three from the DP World Tour Asian swing standings, which closed at the Hainan. So Keita Nakajima, Eugenio Chikara, and Marco Penge all will start the PGA Championship.
Yeah, and he qualified for the Open with one of his finishes earlier in the season as well. So it's going to be a huge year for the guy.
Going back to your Higo tip, he was 50-1, and he ranked number one in my strokes gained total rankings. Number one. But because he was playing Corn Ferry and Puerto Rico Opens and all this, and I couldn't see any skill sets, I kind of, as I do, went straight past his name and didn't really think about it. He'd finished
classic
third.
Steve.
I know, it's mad. He'd finished third the week before on the Corn Ferry.
Mm.
So he's now got himself a 2-year PGA Tour card. In fact, in essence, it's 2.5, well, over 2.5 years. Because all of this year.
Yeah. He loves a bit of island golf, doesn't he? So,
and Paspalum.
Yeah, absolutely. So going back to his wins on the DP World Tour, I think a couple of them came in the Canary Islands. And then, of course, wins the Corrales as well. So, yeah, there's a nice little pattern emerging there for Garrick Higo on island.
We've got one of these alternate events. We've got one of these alternate events next week. So 150-1, 50-1, 60-1, 50-1, 80-1, and 50-1 have been the winning prices since Bryce Garnett won the Puerto Rico Open in 2024. The one outstanding price was 20-1 on Billy Ho at the Corrales last year. So those are the kind of players that have been winning these second division events. Mm. One to store in the old brain bat box for next week, potentially. Should we talk about the Ryder Cup qualification quickly?
Go for it.
There's been some swapping and changing. Let's talk Europe first. McIlroy, Hatton, Rasmus Højgaard, Rose, Lowry, Ludvig Åberg. Then from 7 to 12, bearing in mind that Donald gets 6 captain's picks. Fleetwood, Dietrich, Wallace, Niklas Norgaard. Needs to start getting some results, really, on the PGA Tour. Laurie Kanter, and now Rasmus Nygaard Pettersson. Mm. He's a young, talented lad, isn't he, this Nygaard Pettersson, Paul?
He is, yeah. Yeah, again, another long hitter. He's gonna win something very soon, I think. There's a lot of people on him last week, and again, quite rightly. I didn't go there. He was quite a bit shorter than Penge, but he was... he finished fourth or fifth or something like that in the end, so... In the mix.
Below that, Hovland clearly gets a pick. McIntyre gets a pick. You've then got Straka down there and you've got Aaron Rye. So there's going to be some interest. Now, we worked out, Paul, didn't we, that we think that the Betfred British Masters, which is the week after the Tour Championship, will be the last qualifying event for racking up points for the Team Europe. Is that correct?
If it follows patterns, or the pattern from before, date-wise, then it should be around then, yeah. I mean, potentially the week after the after Crown Saussure, but...
yeah, I think that's when he announces his captain's picks. So I think what happens is the Betfred British Masters is the end of the points qualification, so he then gets given his top six, and then you've got Crown Saussure, the Omega European Masters, one more event. And then the Monday after that, he tells you who he's picked.
Yes, that would make sense, wouldn't it?
So there's going to be some packed... I mean, the Betfred British Masters, there's going to be some packed fields.
Mm. Yeah, it's good. It's a nice stretch at the back end of the DP World Tour summer, isn't it? We get that. And then, of course, you get Wentworth and the Irish Open as well prior to the Ryder Cup. So it's a real purple patch of events for the DP World Tour.
This is it. With no real PGA Tour competition, so it's going to be great.
Yeah, not in September.
Team USA, Scheffler, Xander, Morikawa, DeChambeau, Russell Henley, Justin Thomas, top six. Thomas, of course, after his RBC Heritage win, which we haven't mentioned. JT wins around Harbortown, so fair play to him. Then you've got McNealy, Harmon, some of these names... Andrew Novak's now in at 9. I mean, this guy, I mean, I did have to titter on that one. As soon as I saw Ben Griffin and Andrew Novak towards the top of the leaderboard on Friday, I just knew that both of them would win because you've backed these guys for years in individual events. And what's the price that when they team together, the event that you don't bother with, you don't back, they'll win it and break their Tour Maidens as a team. And that's exactly what happened.
Turned into the Power Rangers and just made it happen.
It just had to happen.
Yeah.
But Novak, now number 9 for Team USA.
Mm. He's having some season.
JJ.
It's great. It's great to see.
Well, this is it. You've got to say, it's mixing things up, isn't it? Mm. 10 is JJ Spawn. 11, Patrick Cantlay. 12, Harris English. That is one hell of a mixed up team compared to the sort of lineups we've seen in the past for the Americans.
Yeah. Well, Cantlay gets a pick anyway, I think. But some of the others have got to fight. Got to fight for their place.
By my reckoning.
Would you have Patrick Reed on the team? Just a question. Just looking down some of the names. I think you kind of have to.
In a heartbeat, Barry, I would. The way he's playing, he's prowess in the match play format. Absolutely. Captain America.
It's just, yeah.
mean, you've got Tom Hoagie, Daniel Berger, Lucas Glover, Billy Horschel, 13 through 16. I haven't mentioned within those four anyone that was in the team last time. We've got Wyndham Clark, Tony Finau, Ricky Fowler, Max Homer, Jordan Spieth and Sam Burns. Pretty much nowhere near qualification at the moment. That's six of the team from last time.
I think it's not exactly a bold prediction. I think Spieth makes a team. It seems to be just incrementally getting a little bit better week on week. So if he stays injury free, I think that trajectory continues. And I think he does. I think he gets on the team.
Mm. Yeah.
But Pat, I mean, this is it. Patrick Reed, great at the Masters. Paul said all along, you just look at his basics now, hitting the ball straight, hitting tons and tons of greens. We know what an immaculate putter and short game the guy's got. And the only way he can force the hand of Keegan Bradley is across three remaining majors. And we're going to Quail Hollow in a couple of weeks. Who finished second at the PGA Championship, tied with a few others like Francesco Molinari, at Quail Hollow last time in 2019 when JT won there? Patrick Reed.
Mm.
Not a bad Lynx golf player either, is he? Port Rush.
No, and he's hovering around that top 50 in the world, so he shouldn't... well, as long as he continues to produce some results, then he should be fine for the... for the other majors as well.
He's motivated, isn't he? You can see that. Yeah. He's picking off events to get world ranking points to make sure he qualifies for these majors. He has to perform to get in, and that's good.
Yep.
Who would you rather have? JJ Spawn in your team or Patrick Reed?
Yeah, it's not even a question, is it?
Barry?
Like it's no, I thought that was a rhetorical question, Steve.
Well, no, well, yeah, but I know you. Sometimes you go off on a tangent, you'll completely disagree.
he's a bulldog in match play. I just think that just for the to amp up the crowd, that as if a New York crowd needs to get amped up anymore, but I just think it logically makes so much sense. Now, there is always the question mark about the interaction in the team environment within the team room, so that's something Keegan Bradley has to weigh up if he is, if he does pick him, how that all works with the team. So,
yeah.
Maybe he's matured a little bit and he's not as much of a prickly one in the team environment or disruptive anymore. Who knows? But like in terms of what his output is on the course, he kind of has to be there for me.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Put it this way, as a European fan, I'd much rather see them have JJ Spawn on the team, which tells me that Reed is the correct pick to have.
Mm. Yeah. No.
Keegan's going to have some interesting selection dilemmas. Let's put it that way. Because the way that this team is mixed up, and you know, it's still early in the we're into May. So, you know, this isn't the first week of January. These standings are starting to mean starting to actually show. They're not going to change that radically. You know, I don't think you're going to get the six guys that were in the team last time all of a sudden playing golf from the gods and knocking everybody else out of that team. So there's going to be new team members in there.
Mm.
Both for both sets of teams. So it's interesting stuff. I mean, this is it. That's what I love about golf. You get these layers. You've got the majors, you've got the Ryder Cup this year, and it's all about player motivations. Now, that takes us quite nicely, I think. Paul, it's worth noting before we move on, actually. You've pulled together a league table, haven't you, for the majors competition?
Yes.
Do you want to email that out, or what? I'll put it in the description of the podcast?
I've put it right at the top of the homepage of the website, so below the section that details this week's tournaments, there's a link that takes you straight through to it. So,
yeah.
Interestingly, or maybe not, nearly a third of all the entrants had Rory McIlroy as their first pick for the Masters.
It means I'm tied first. This is amazing. I love this. You guys pick McIlroy as well? Hang on.
Yeah, I had McIlroy.
No, I thought I'd bring down Justin Thomas, and he then won the week after.
Yeah.
So I came tied 51st at Augusta.
There's a lot of people with Rory, and there's a lot of people with some very tasty looking four picks who, if they've also backed them as their majors accumulator or majors Yankee or however you've done it, could be starting to get very excited should the second leg of their ACCA come in at the PGA Championship in a fortnight's time.
If you're listening to this podcast on YouTube, we would love to hit 125 likes this week, plus with the PGA Championship from Quail Hollow just a few weeks away. Subscribe to the channel and make sure your show notifications are on so you know the second our PGA Championship pods drop. We will be pulling together our research podcast at the end of next week. We're very, very close to 5,000 subscribers. So if you're listening for the first time, just subscribe to the channel and hit that like button. Much appreciated. It's all good. It's all good for the YouTube. I've forgotten the name. What do they call it? The old equilibrium or whatever they call it. What's the thing, Paul? Help me.
I'm trying to work out where your brain's going, Steve.
Where they pick up your content and say it's fantastic. The SEO and all that malarkey.
Oh, yeah, for the algorithm. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, that's the one. They completely changed the golf course this week, chaps, for the CJ Byron Nelson. I kind of got an inkling of it going through it because they'd added 155 yards to it. And you just think, well, have they just added a load of tee boxes? Or I had a little search around, couldn't find anything. And then the fact sheet came out. So I want to highlight this at the top because Barry said to me, and you know, if anyone that follows this, you know that TPC Craig Ranch is easy. So last year it was the seventh easiest course on the tour, sixth easiest the year before, fourth and fifth. This is a fifth renewal. But these changes might just turn the easy, so they might just start tweaking it towards a little bit more kind of mid-score rather than 25 under. Let me take you through it. Weisskopf original, but Lanny Watkins has got involved in toughening the golf course. So Dallas, Texas, he's added 155 yards. So it's now a 7,569 yard par 71. So that's long. What he's also done is these used to have really wide fairways. So the penalty for missing fairways here, basically the fairways were really wide anyway, and the penalty for missing them was non-negligible. So people were just lashing it from off the tee with no real penalty. He's made the fairways considerably thinner, and they've overseeded the whole golf course. So we're now looking at rough, which will be 3.25 inches thick. So that's interesting, I think. Might just start to slowly change the dynamics of the golf course and potentially the winning score. Mm. I'm just opening up the preview from last year just to compare where we're at. They had Bermuda grass rough last year at 2.75 inches, but wider fairways as well. So we've got thicker rough, thinner fairways, and they've got rid of the Zuija grass fairways. They're all overseeded with ryegrass. Now, as we said off air, if they're going to water the greens, right, and they're going to be your typical greens where the ball hits and moves about 3 inches for all of the approach shots, I don't think it's going to make a great deal of difference. But if we're going to see some greens here that potentially have a little bit of release in them, I wouldn't be surprised if, say, the winning total this week required would be around about the 20 under mark, 19, 20.
Yeah, shave a little bit. It would just put a little bit more emphasis on a little bit more accuracy off the tee than has been needed or required here so far. So yeah, I guess if your approach shots are coming from anything but the fairway and the greens aren't holding as well as they were previously, then it is going to make it tougher. But it's all relative, Steve. If we're still talking 18, 20 under, something in that bracket, then it's still not.
It's not going to be US Open, is it? There's a 55% chance of rain on the Wednesday before the tournament starts on the Thursday. So they might get a bit of a deluge as well. There is a 75% chance of rain and thunderstorms on the Friday. Looks like it's Friday morning as well. So maybe some disruption. Wind. There isn't as much wind, Texas wind, as you know you can see in a lot of these tournaments. I know that the Valero was absolutely howling a few weeks ago. It looks calmer wind conditions. Early to say, but first round leader bets, you might see the Thursday morning being tougher than the Thursday afternoon.
Hmm.
Also, yeah, and it doesn't really change much, but it's warm on Thursday up to 28 degrees Celsius and it drops 5 or 6 or maybe even 7 levels below degrees below that, so a little bit cooler across the other 54 holes. But yeah, it's all relative. It's either going to be, I don't know, I think 19, 20 under is potentially the number we're looking for. It's not a great field. There's some decent players in it. The world number one's clearly in it, and he, I believe, is he something like 130 or 4-1?
Or was that? Not even that, 3-1, 11-4, I saw it was been chopped into yesterday.
Scotty Scheffler, the world number one, is playing the Byron Nelson. He likes to support Texas tournaments, quite rightly, yeah. Best price I am seeing is 14-5 with Betfred. Next up, Jordan Spieth at 18s. We've got lots and lots of Koreans, as you would think, because this is now sponsored by CJ. So you've got Sung Jae Im at 22s, Ben Ahn at 28s, along with the likes of Siwoo Kim, Sam Burns, and the defending champion Taylor Pendrith, 33-1 bar. Anything you remember about this tournament? Any comments you want to make about it, chaps? Or should we just move straight on to our selections?
Well, not only that in the past you'd have gone straight to the kind of the resort course statistic on the predictor as the key determinant, because getting to 24, 26 under is a skill that's not all of the players can get to, you know, and when you look at someone like Scotty Scheffler at the top of the market, is a 24, 26 under birdie fest Scotty's bag, and you could start to oppose him on the back of that at the price on offer. But the changes do change the dynamic a little bit to this week's test. So, yeah, interesting to see how it pans out, I think.
One thing to add is I think this is a real test of Paul's talent levels right now. Birdie fest shootout, kind of tough to predict who's going to win, and we're doing a pod as well, so this is see if all the training's paid off, Paul.
Yeah,
if Paul gets this, we're flying, aren't we? Oh, it one thing I didn't mention, bent grass greens,
they're a rare breed these days.
They're a dying breed.
They're
not going to be here next year, apparently. This is going to change to TIFF Dwarf Bermuda Grass for 2026.
Do we need to like start a Save Bent Grass campaign on Twitter or something?
Yeah, let's get an X page up and running.
Yeah. The changes they're making should mean that maybe going into Sunday we don't have 25 guys within 2 or 3 shots of each other. Might stretch out the field a little bit.
Maybe.
Which is good if you have one of your guys in the hunt and there's not that many contending. But I suppose it's always hard. It's very hard to predict how it's going to go. We just need a penge of this week with the kind of slightly unknown things in the course.
Last year, Jake Knapp was 8th. He got the last full each way payout if you'd gone 8 places each way. Again, and the amount of bookmakers that have gone 6 places this week, absolutely terrible on a PGA Tour event. especially when there's no other golf on. That's slap wrist territory for me. Jake Knapp was at 19 under. The winner was 23 under. So like you said, you've got eight players there within four shots of the lead. Maybe that separates slightly? Potentially.
Yeah, given the quality that's in the field as well, could see some separation.
I've got five. By the way, the winning price, if you take the last 5 years of the Byron Nelson, average it through 112 to 1. So do not be surprised to see a bigger number win this. Pendrith last year, who defends, 90 to 1. KH Lee, 125s. KH Lee the first time, 200 to 1. Jason Day, just to, and you know, this harks back to what Barry's saying about this tournament. Day won at 18 to 1. So completely the opposite spectrum. I think that was the week before the PGA when Day won.
Yeah, quite possibly.
Keith Mitchell was a late WD, Barry, so you can't back him this week, unfortunately for you.
That's
okay. I'll save you a couple of euro, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I've gone straight off the top, and I wrote four of these tips without knowing the prices, because I'm just trying different things to become a better or get better results. I've gone for Jordan Spieth. Sorry. If there's Jordan Spieth in elevated events, it doesn't seem to happen anymore. If Jordan Spieth is going to start building momentum and getting on the radar of Keegan Bradley, he needs to be hitting these weak events hard. And if there's one event Jordan Spieth is absolutely in love with, it's his local event, the Byron Nelson. I think he will be all guns blazing this week because he wants to win it and needs to win it. Or at least needs to show something. And as you said earlier, Barry, actually, if you look at his numbers, there's a kind of just a bit more level of consistency with the game. So maybe he's getting, you know, the rebuilt swing, and he's now got more faith in the wrist, and something good is starting to emerge. I don't think a tougher score here will hurt him either. If we're losing three or four shots off the winning total, that's playing more to Jordan Spieth field. So I've gone relatively small stake, just two each way. Thank you to Betfred. They offered me eight places each way and 18 to 1 on Jordan Spieth. So I took it. Ninth here in 2021 and second here in 2022. He does play some amazing golf in his home state of Texas. He's won the Valero Texas Open. He's already won at Colonial. If he won this, that would be the third of the four Texas tournaments currently played in the Lone Star State that he'd be the winner of.
Mm. Yeah.
And I do believe, and I mean, this is based upon the old course, but I can't really see this changing a lot. 27% of the strokes gained here over the last 4 years have needed to come from the putter. And he's been putting a lot better of late. So yeah, Jordan Spieth for me, 18 to 1.
I think on top of that, just the mental motivation of JT winning a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
You know, he hasn't won a couple of years. I haven't won a couple of years. And all right, my turn to go. Let's do it.
Has to boost it, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Back to the home state, feeling good. I think there's a lot of good factors kind of pushing him along on a wave this week. You kind of talked me into it. I was thinking about it, but you know, you talked me into it now. And 18 to 1 feels like an okay price.
I take in other people's content, and you know, there's a few rumours going around various, you know, various podcasts and whatever. You know, Spieth's starting to turn. You can see it in the numbers. Now you're either pro Spieth or you're anti Spieth. You know, people that don't like Jordan Spieth don't back him, think he's rubbish, and vice versa. I'm always in the middle. I've won with Spieth in the past. I won on him at Valero. It's a similar kind of vibe that I'm getting right now, and he. You know, you go through all of the Ryder Cup, you go through all everything that's happening. He needs to get results, and quickly. So he can't just roll up here and miss the cut. It's always next week at the Truest. He needs to start performing. And this golf course, it's his local course, and he absolutely adores the Byron Nelson. So I'm in. I've talked you into it, Barry, have I? Sorry about that.
Yeah. Because I have other ones, I don't really have anybody in the... Nobody in the mid kind of range of prices has caught my eye, so I don't mind having this bet at all at that price. Normally, I hate the shorties, but this feels like a good one, and then I can have a couple of longer odds.
Five-time winner on bent grass greens from his 13 PGA Tour victories, just across my strokes gained rankings. And this shows you a little bit. I mean, it's a poor field. Let me throw that out there. It is a poor field. But even so, he's in the top 20 for putting, the top 10 for tee to green, and the top 5 for current form. I thought I might get a bigger price, but it's Jordan Spieth, so.
Yeah.
And it's a weak field.
It is. It's the field, isn't it?
I've then got 25-1, 30-1, and 290-1 selections. Are you anywhere around that mark, Paul, in terms of, you know, a kind of short price that you're on, or you bigger?
No, I've got 45-1 is right. The shortest I've got this week.
I don't think a South Korean here is a bad shout at all. Byron Nelson in the past has been won by Sangmun Bae. It's been won by Sung Kang, of all people, and yet that was on totally different golf courses. Get that. But South Korean golfers gravitate to Dallas. That's where they live. That's where they base themselves. And I've said all along, but you cannot find anything about it. But I'm pretty certain they use TPC Craig Ranch very, very regularly as either a practice kind of area, or they just play a lot of golf here to practice and play. Now, I heard on Pat Mayo before the Masters, he was interviewing Michael Kim. And Michael Kim mentioned that he lived very close to Craig Ranch and that he played it a lot as a warm-up, yeah, as a practice venue. And that, you know, it all ties into it. And we've had, of course, K.H. Lee win here the first 2 years that it was played here. So I've gone with 25-1 chance, although I did see a little bit of 28-1s about him after I put the tips up. Siwoo Kim, who finished second here 2 years ago. And Siwoo Kim's in a bit of a spot, you know, because he's outside the world's top 60. And that doesn't affect him for the PGA Championship, any of that business doesn't affect him. I think he qualifies for all the signature events, so that's not a problem. But if he doesn't put his foot down soon and get some decent results, all of a sudden, US Open qualifying might be beckoning for Siwoo Kim, because they take the top 60 in the world 2 weeks before the US Open. And it's just these little things that you wouldn't notice, or, you know, these mean a lot to these professionals, and their agents and the team, they all know about these boundaries and the deadlines that they're playing to. It was just interesting with Siwoo Kim. From a lot of mediocrity, all of a sudden, the week after the Masters, he's the 54-hole leader at Harbour Town. So I thought Siwoo Kim, I don't think the tougher nature of the course would do him any harm either. He's a decent driver, drives the ball fairly straight. The thing I noticed at Harbour Town was all of a sudden the putter clicked. He was 14th for strokes gained putting. So I've taken Siwoo Kim with Bet365, 8 places each way on their each way extra facility on Siwoo Kim at 25-1. And then, very much along the lines of the fact that you need to be a good putter here, and this is a very Jordan Spieth type tip, I've gone 1.5 points each way, 30-1 on the lesser spotted. This is where Betfred 8 plays each way. The lesser spotted, Sam Burns. His wins have come in Florida, Mississippi, and Texas. 5 PGA Tour victories. Loves Bermuda grass. The win at Colonial came on a Bermuda grass course that also had bent grass green. So everything fits correctly with Burns. Putting really, really well. And again, 46th at the Masters, 13th at the RBC Heritage. And the thing I've noticed with Sam, he's been very, very flagrant off the tee. The approach play hasn't been brilliant, but all of a sudden at RBC Heritage and at Augusta, top 10 for driving strokes gained. So all of a sudden, faith, and I read some comments from Taylor Pendry's win last year, and he basically turned up here and said, oh, my driving's been absolutely horrendous. I haven't driven the ball at all well. But last couple of weeks, all of a sudden, driving the ball straight, driving the ball long, and the rest of the game's coming. That kind of fits with Sam Burns. And as I said, he has never won outside of the Southern United States. So again, an event like this, when he's in as much trouble as he is, to try and get Ryder Cup qualification, I think he has to take it seriously this week. So 30-1, Betfred, 8 places each way, Sam Burns for me. Right, I'm going to sit here with my wife's Take That mug, have a few slugs of tea, and listen to you guys. So Paul, you start off with your first selection.
So the first one I'm coming in is Mackenzie Hughes at 45-1. And this price point's the area that's been kind to me over the past fortnight. So quite happy to play there this week. Some really eye-catching stats from Hughes as well. 10th at the Houston Open and 3rd at the Heritage. 5th for strokes gained tee to green both weeks, which is the number that really caught my eye. Seems to have really straightened up his driving as well, which you can't always say about Mackenzie Hughes. 2nd for driving accuracy at Bay Hill, 8th and 6th for driving accuracy at the Valspar and at the Houston Open as well. So with these changes, updates to the course, which may put a little bit more premium on accuracy, perhaps that's not such a bad thing. 54th in the world, so that's fine for the US PGA Championship because they should let all the top 100 in, but needs to push on for the US Open and the Open Championship, so a little bit of motivation there. And in terms of the course, 14th here in 2023, he was 2nd at a halfway point. He was 41st last year, but if you dig into the rounds, he shot 2 rounds of 64 in the second and the final round, so can play the course, playing some nice stuff. We know he can putt incredibly well. And the fact that his tee to green game's been really picking up as well was enough to pique my interest this week about Mackenzie Hughes.
I tipped him up here last year. So yeah,
did you?
I can see it. Absolutely. Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense. I think he should be motivated, and for him to be producing those kind of accuracy numbers is a real eye-opener. So let's see if he can continue that. I've got a couple more that are a little bit longer, 66 and 80, and then we share one further down the board as well, Steve.
We do. Barry, where are you thinking you're going to invest your euro?
My euro has been invested in Ryo Hizatsune. Playing some lovely golf recently. Nice kind of strokes gained plot pentagram sitting there. Maybe could do a big slightly hotter with the putter. But overall, things are going very nicely. Had a tied fifth in the Valero, Texas a few weeks ago. Since then, went 18th at the RBC Heritage. Had a good week last week in the team event, just keeping things lit. And he, if I'm correct, it was the Open de France he won on, that would have been on the Ryder Cup course, right?
Le Golf National.
So can do it on a demanding golf course with reasonably juicy rough. So kind of like where he's at. Just things are going in a good direction. So I managed to get him with Paddy Power 60-1, 8 places.
Very sits nice. In the top 10 of my strokes gain current form metric. So that shows you how nicely he's playing at the moment. Scheffler, Norman Jong, that's an exception, but he has to go in. Ben Arn at 3, Mackenzie Hughes at 4, tied with Jordan Spieth. We've heard some of these names. Davis Riley at 6 with Dylan Wu. 8 is Matt McCarty. He's an interesting name because he played very well at the Augusta. 9, Teodor Bjørn Olsen. And then T10, Hitsatsuni, Norlander, Hayden Springer.
Norlander was interesting. Just seeing a couple of things were popping there. Might
do something. Henrik Norlander if you want a winner.
Don't. Okay. Thank you for that.
Back him, Barry. Back him.
Is he like an ice cream in the sun when it gets to Sunday, Steve? Or is it really?
He loves a backdoor top 10, put it that way.
Okay.
Loves a backdoor.
Save me a Euro.
Played well this year, actually, Norlander. He's top 80 for FedEx. And don't forget, only 100 keep their cards, full cards. That's an interesting dynamic. You're seeing a lot of players already. You can see they're panicking because there's 25 less cards, and players that normally play well right at the end of the fall are already playing well now. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah. Needs must.
The pace. I don't want to be playing Corn Ferry next year. Or the Kralis Championship and all the rubbish the others don't want to play, because at the end of the day they're all going to get tournaments. It's not as if they're going to cut the numbers for these tournaments, is it?
No.
But yeah.
No.
He's a good player, Norlander, but yeah, he does melt like an ice cream in the sun, doesn't he? If he gets anywhere near the lead on a Sunday. I've gone for a player that's 13th in the strokes gained total metric, and I'll throw this out there because I know Paul's already backed him as well. Talking of ice and cold countries, Sammy Falamaki. 90-1 I got with Betfred, 8 place each way. Sammy Falamaki's 13th in the current form rankings. And what was that? What was that? I've never heard that on a podcast before. What was that you said there, Barry, about a pentagram?
Yeah, on the strokes gained.
That's taking me back to primary school, pentagram.
I think I picked it up from Tron on No Laying Up. He was talking about it. But, yeah, just a little strokes gained pentagram is shows you just that quick visual on how strong somebody is before.
Yeah.
It saves you going digging into the numbers. Mm-hmm. Because if you immediately see it's not that strong and where you want it to be that week, you just go, okay, next.
Well, when I look at my TPC Craig Ranch pentagram, which I haven't actually got, I see that 20% is off the tee. 37% of strokes gain needed here is approach. 16% around the green. 73% tee to green. 27% putting. So as I said, team no putt. We need some positive putting. We need to be gaining this week around about at least 0.8 on the greens per round. And when I looked at Sammy Falamaki's pentagram, which I actually did do, 37%, basically his skill sets are fantastic approach play, and he's been a decent putter this year. So it seems pretty ideal to me. He basically ranks so far on tour. Bear in mind, we're into May now, so he's been playing some very nice stuff. He actually ranks, 14th for putting and 8th for approach on the tour.
Damn.
So they're the skill sets we want, and I'm bearing in mind Pendrith won at 90-1, and we're getting. I think Sammy Falamaki at 90-1 was a really good price on someone that's playing some really good golf at the moment.
Hmm.
What do you think, Paul? Can you enlist? The other number that I noticed was that he was he's just been making a ton of birdies recently. Well, one eagle and 22 birdies at the Texas Children's Open. I think there was 18 birdies at the RBC Heritage. That was only four behind J2, who won it. Bearing in mind, that was a signature level event and he was in the top 20. So he just seems to be becoming a bit more confident. He's mixing it with better players and he's playing really well. So I thought 90 to 1 on Falamaki was a must back price.
Yeah, he was 11th for strokes game putting at the Heritage as well, as you say. That for a top 20 finish in decent company was really good. We were kind of looking out for him to be playing the Corrales because that would have, you know, that would have been quite an easy selection there on the Paspalum greens. But he's moved up a level, Sammy, and quite rightly, he's rubbing shoulders with some better players now. The numbers that got me, and well, you're absolutely right for the season long approach and strokes gained putting numbers, but at Houston, he was first for strokes gained tee to green and first for approach in that field.
Yeah.
And at the Texas Open, he was top 10 on both of those metrics as well. So his long game's really good. We know he can putt. And he's 108th in the world rankings right now. Now, traditionally, the USPGA select the top 100 in the world rankings, and that's May the 5th. So it's at the end of this week's tournament. So as it stands, he's just outside of that. They do have some flex, but is Sammy Valimaki going to be the first person on the selection list if he's outside the top 100?
No, I can't see it. I'm not convinced.
So I think he needs to have a good week. And if he does have a good week, he's going to sneak inside that top 100 and he'll be playing Quail Hollow in a couple of weeks' time. So big motivation for Sammy to play well, I think. Nice bet. I did like that.
It's the Aeon Swing 5 this week. There'll be a lot of focus on that because next week is the Truist, which is the old Wells Fargo. That is a signature level event. Higo is qualified. Teal Bjornsson's pretty much in. Nikolai Rasmus Højgaard and Keith Mitchell's actually sitting at number 5 in that. So whether he's been given the nod and they said, Keith, you're in the Truest and you don't need to play that, but he's disappeared, so I'm surprised he has. Mm. But for players outside of that, this again, another motivational, Frankie Kappen, Jake Knapp, who I know he's going to be so popular this week, and I don't, are you tipping him up, Barry? Because I don't think any of us else, Jake Knapp winning this, we'll be literally tearing our hair out, friend of the podcast. Dylan Wu, Henrik Norlander, Joel Damon, Jeremy Paul, Alejandro Tosti, David Lipsky. So those players know that with a good week this week, they're very close, potentially, to getting into the Truest big money next week, which they're playing on a new golf course outside of Philadelphia.
Mm. Yeah, big motivation for a few of them.
I've got one more. 90 to 1, bet 365, 8 places each way. The Australian, Cam Davis. Two-time winner on the PGA Tour. Both on bent-based putting surfaces. He's another one. He's another player that's around this 60th in the world kind of spot. Someone that's not 100% certain that they're going to definitely get into the US Open. And how many of these have we actually seen popping up recently and playing some half-decent golf? Ben Griffin, Matt McCarty, Mackenzie Hughes, you've gone for him, Paul. You've got Austin Eckroat, Bezaden Hoop popped out a few weeks ago. Siwoo Kim. Yeah, I just think Cam Davis this week, he was right in the mix at the RBC and fell back. He was right in the mix last week with Adam Svensson in the team event, fell back on Sunday. I don't think Adam hitting it in the water on one of the par threes helped. I did notice that during the best ball part of that, the Thursday and the Friday, he made 2 eagles and 8 birdies. So he's clearly making tons and tons of birdies. And actually, if you look at the PGA Tour metrics this year, I think he's 4th for birdie average, Cam Davis is. Playing the course for the first time, that hasn't stopped. That didn't stop Taylor Pendrith. I don't think it's a course that actually is that difficult. These pros seem to turn up and just play it naturally. So I'm on Cam Davis 90-1 with Bet365, a point each way. So my five: Falamaki, Davis, Burns, Siwoo Kim, Jordan Spieth. Right, I will now depart and leave you two to finish. Any more for you, Barry?
Not really sure at the moment. Not committed.
You are the Jake Knapp whisperer, correct?
No, I'm not. I had to jump on late halfway through the tournament the last time, and I don't know. See, maybe the team event seemed to kind of maybe clicked him out or pulled him out of his funk. He was just, things were a little bit messy for a couple of weeks or a few weeks. So just, I don't know. It could activate him. We'll see. See, the thing is, I just get enjoyment out of it. It's kind of like, I don't need to be on Rory for a win because the price is always short, but I'll get enjoyment out of him winning anyway, as long as he doesn't directly beat one of my bets. That always sucks, but just as a golf fan and a fan of his and the swing, so I just get enjoyment out of it. So I'm not going to, there's not going to be an amount of money I win on him that's going to be changing my life. So
you can just sit there and admire his swing, Barry, if he's on a lot of the coverage.
Yeah.
Why not?
Paul has one more selection.
I've got two, actually.
Oh, two? Both
of them caught my eye in the Texas swing before the Masters. So just noted them down, and I'm going to back them both this week. First one's Ryan Gerrard. I took some of the early 66 to 1. It's been nibbled in a bit, but 60 to 1 is still out there. And as I say, caught the eye in Texas before the Masters, ninth at the Houston Open and second at the Texas Open. He won his first Korn Ferry Tour title last June, 26 under. So that was by 6 shots. So we know he can go low. He's not going to have to go quite as low as that, it would seem, this week now with the changes. But positive anyway. Seventh for strokes gained tee to green at the Houston Open. Second for strokes gained putting at the Texas Open, which was the key for me selecting him this week. So if he puts that all together, then bingo, potentially, for Ryan Gerrard. The other one you've just mentioned is a player who's got some motivation to make the field next week, and that's Alessandro Tosti at 80-1. Fifth at the Houston Open, 12th at the Texas Open. Second and first for strokes gained tee to green over those 2 weeks. So again, if you were to pick through some of the stats of the previous winners here at Craig Ranch, strokes gained tee to green, they've tended to be really quite high on that statistic on the week. So that married up quite nicely. He was runner-up at the Corrales. Long hitter, should enjoy this course, I think. Fourth on tour for eagles made. So quite an aggressive sort. Should be able to make a few birdies. Missed the cut here last year, but far more experienced now. And I think he could contend. So for me, my four: Mackenzie Hughes, Ryan Gerrard, Alessandro Tosti and Sami Valamäki.
I think that's us. That was a deep breath. I'm sorry about that if you heard that on the podcast. People love my deep breathing on here anyway, don't they? Oh, by the way, if you are listening on YouTube, of course, press that subscribe button because we've got some cracking PGA Championship content coming up. And... off mic, we were talking about next week, the Truist Championship, Barry, and I know you're already well into it. We're actually going to be playing the Philadelphia Cricket Club next week on the PGA Tour. Yeah, you heard that right. The Philadelphia Cricket Club, which was an A.W. Tillinghast design, and he loved the golf course so much, and he was from that area, they spread his ashes on the course. That's how beautiful and classical next week's design is going to be.
You think Steve gets excited about agronomy? Wait, he starts talking about the crease and the cracks and the pitch and, swing the ball swinging next week.
The swingometer.
yeah, exactly.
Yes. Quality field, the Truist. And that's going to really uncover who we need to be backing at the PGA Championship the week after. I'll be interested to know, and I don't know this, Scheffler in the past hasn't played the signature event the week before the PGA. So this might be his last event before the PGA.
Yeah,
now, whether he didn't play that because he didn't like Quail Hollow, or I don't know. But if you remember last year, I'm pretty certain, I mean, I might be talking out of school here, but I reckon he hasn't played this signature event in the build-up to majors in the build-up to the PGA in the past.
Yeah, particularly with him playing this week, maybe that's his loose.
Maybe that's his MO.
PGA.
Yeah. Do you think he just absolutely annihilates them and wins at a ridiculously low price this week?
Well,
it's all up for grabs, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You can never say never because he's been nowhere near his A game yet. He's still been in and around leaderboards. So should he find some top performance and some of his stats, particularly with the putting, then it's going to be incredibly difficult to beat. But that's why he's been priced sub 3-1.
2023, he played the Heritage, the Byron Nelson, the PGA, and last year, bearing in mind he'd won virtually every tournament that he turned up at, he won the Masters, he won the Heritage, he then went straight to the PGA Championship. So yeah, he might not be playing next week at the Truist. It'd be interesting to see. Right, I appreciate your time. I hope your bets go well, chaps.
Best of luck, boys.
You too, boys.
Best of luck to listeners. We will be back next week. It's going to be a packed show. The Truist Championship on the PGA Tour. Paul, you've got action, haven't you?
Yeah, we've got the return of the Turkish Airlines Open. So it used to be one of those big money late season events, but they've slotted it earlier in the calendar now. So not quite so high a level, but at least a little bit of history to dig into for next week. So that's good.
And there might even be a little bit of Myrtle Beach Classic information as well. Right, see you soon. Take care.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more, 'cause it's the Golf Betting System. The Golf